Good afternoon, Kay. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Bri. How are you, buddy?
Let's see. That was it, the blah, 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 blah is Monday, January the 30th.
Yes, it is.
Okay. You know, this whole thing about being, you know, having this show on the website afterwards is kind of a little...
Isn't that great? What is the... Can you give the call letters for the website once more?
It's really tough.
Okay.
KINS1063.com.
All right.
Just yep. Oh, that's right. I got to take your picture before you get out of this
Everyone
room.
Should be studying that.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know anything about digital
Is this
stuff.
Live on 106.3?
No. Aaron will have it up by 5 o'clock, though.
All right. Okay, good.
That'll be 5 o'clock on Monday the 30th, Pacific Coast time. Yeah, and that garbly gook.
Aaron will deliver.
Yeah. He's smiling. He'll deliver. So what do you want to talk about?
Gosh, there's so many things. Let's just start and have fun.
All right, fair enough. The fun begins when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
Well, it must be one that's well-known because you finished it for me. But I still think it's spectacular.
Well, I can read, can't I?
Okay. What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Isn't that an appropriate comment for politicians given this political season? I don't care what you say. What have you done?
Yeah, yeah, that's a tough standard for a lot of them to be measured against.
It is. Words mean so little in today's society. It's what you do that roars.
Yeah, what's your record?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, have you done the right thing when confronted by a difficult issue? And so I think it's a great quote.
What do you see nationally? Every time I hear the discussions as they've been going on, I keep having visions of torn, shredded flesh on the side of the road as we're going from one political primary state to the next, to the next, to the next. Is this what you thought it would be like, what, 2 months into this?
Right. I kind of did. And first of all, I think most people need to understand that there are very narrow differences between the candidates on the Republican side. They're making them sound like they're big things. And to some extent they are, but they're mostly past acts. As far as current policy goes, there are very few differences. So consequently, this is getting through to the finals, and they're kind of doing what it takes. Each has a strategy. And when it comes time for the general, it will be an easy, bright picture to contrast with Obama.
Somebody had pointed out, I think it was Medved this afternoon, I think, is that when Reagan was running in 80 against Bush,
yes,
that it was just as aggressive, just as quote-unquote nasty, just very, very, very similar, and then one gets selected as the VP. That was the discussion point. Is there any possibility Gingrich might be Romney's vice president or inverted? And, you know, you hear about Rubio and your buddy in Louisiana and a couple of the others, and that they're more maybe next cycle or maybe other positions in the cabinet rather than anything else. And these two could come together as if these guys could debate successfully against the president, what would they do against Mr. Biden?
Well, I don't think Biden's particularly fearsome. He's known for gaffes, he's known for vitriol, and he's not known for having the intellect that will discover how to split the atom. So my reaction is, though, that Newt is not a good junior partner for anybody. I could see Mitt doing it if Newt were the candidate, but I think it's highly, highly, highly unlikely given the state of affairs and the number of states that Newt has actually not is not on the ballot, that he can get the nomination.
So just playing the string out? Or is there an end game here that some of us are unaware of?
There is an end game. The end game right now is to have a floor fight and to not let Romney get enough delegates that he has a majority going into the convention. And then they can do some things. So that's the strategy right now. But I don't know who the vice presidential candidate will be in the event it's Romney as the nominee.
What happened to Kane? Was that legit or did he...
Awful lot of smoke.
Or did he just say, you know, not worth it?
No, I think it was... I don't know. But secondly, it seemed like there was an awful lot of problems there. And, but he's... You know, it's just very difficult. We can say we're a colorblind society, and certainly there's a position to be taken with Obama being elected president that we're colorblind. But it sure is hard to be colorblind when black Republicans are vilified as Uncle Toms and things like that and just systematically taken out. I mean, I can't identify one conservative Republican who has not been.
In the South? There's not a lot of...
No, there just isn't. I mean, you look at even here, they're trying to take out Ward Connerly, who's the anti-affirmative action person.
Right.
It's very difficult. And it's troubling to me because the last thing I am is I don't really think in terms of race. I don't like to think about it. But I will tell you, the Republican blacks... African Americans, whatever moniker, are systematically really mistreated in the press. It's just unbelievable.
Is that why J.C. Watts backed out?
Yeah, sure is.
He just got tired of it?
Got tired of it. Clarence Thomas is in a position where he doesn't care, and they still haven't stopped. And so I think it's kind of a disgraceful state of affairs.
KINS, News and Information Times 422. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 426. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, on the national level, the way things are reported, do you sense that these debates on TV are better at reporting what happened? Or are they giving us insight into some of the bias, personal bias, that some of the various reporters have? So when they report things, we kind of have a jaundiced eye about it.
I don't know. What I do think is that it is unbelievable the topics that come up for discussion that are irrelevant to being president and the issues that our country is now facing. I mean, what garbage are we being fed by the interviewers?
The one that the CNN guy did, that Gingrich hit out of the park.
Oh, John.
Yeah. Teed up. Okay, great. Nobody has had this as a response, and I kind of went, what a stupid question. who's going to have the best first lady? Or how's your... Wait a minute. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
What does that have to do with balancing the budget? I agree. It's outrageous that we put up with questions like this.
Okay, if you need Phil, I got it.
No.
We have Phil here, but for the last question of a presidential debate to have the first lady question instead of something else?
No, it's embarrassing. But really, when you think about it, let's assume that these newspaper, or no, strike that, the TV folk interviewers or professionals. Do you really feel like you're adding a meaningful discussion and dialogue to the rest of the world? I mean, this is what you're being identified with, is this idiotic question that everyone knows is idiotic, yet you're asking it. Shouldn't you?
Or just even wasted opportunity to really ask a viable
question. A better point. That is a total throwaway of a unique opportunity.
Yeah, how will you balance the budget considering how the president doesn't really have that authority?
Yeah, well, or let's talk about how... Another question is we're running a $1.6 trillion deficit. You could tax the upper 1%, 100% of their income, take it all, and you add up to far less than $1 trillion. And so you haven't even really significantly approached the deficit. So let's put aside the class warfare. How are you going to resolve this deficit? How are you going to do it?
Or do you have a plan?
And if so, when? If not, now, when?
Yeah, time bound. Yeah, kind of like the question about the tax returns.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Romney, other than bumbling and stumbling early, when he put it out and somebody responded to his income, do you want a successful guy as president? Or do you want some guy that hasn't been successful running the store?
Yeah,
What a simple, easy response.
Well,
to
and
that
the fact that he wasn't better prepared on the Cayman Island stuff broke my heart. The other thing is that there are two key facets to Bain that no one seems to want to hear. Number one, who makes the vast majority of the money from the investments at Bain? It is not.
It's the retirement groups.
It's not Bain. It's the public employee retirement pensions. Number one.
And the same thing with the oil companies, is they're talking about limiting. I thought, where are the unions saying, time out, guys? We don't want to make Chevron less productive and super tax them because that's my retirement plan.
Of course. And so no one seems to be piecing that together. And the second thing that Romney just isn't prepared on, and I don't get, is that Bain buys into capital structures and companies that are on the emergency table. Emergency patients die. This is what happens. Some die, many live. And that's what his business model is. He's not going to have 100% successes. But I'll tell you, most employees of companies he bought wouldn't have had jobs in 6 months if he hadn't bought them. So if he extended their payroll one day, they won.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, the national level is interesting. And I suppose I'm still waiting for California to try to figure that. You know, how do we get in there? I don't think we do, frankly. I mean, with the governor bumping it back to June, I think we lost. Not only did we lose our influence, but we lost any kind of a hope for having any kind of influence on the outcome.
Well, keep in mind it's a Republican primary, so it's not apt to be. I mean, we're about as blue a state as you can be.
True.
And so
But nonetheless,
I'd rather have electorally significant states up front. So I like Florida.
Okay.
Because California electoral votes are not in play.
No, but like Florida, where it's all or nothing, at least we're percentaged out.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, at least, I think some of these guys running for president need to look at some of the natural resource-based issues that the entire Northwest is dealing with.
No,
water, timber, gravel extraction,
Brian,
all that
you're
stuff.
So right. And what we really need to, we're creating a new verb. It's called being keystoned. And
yeah, what about that one?
Well, that was a favor the Enviros did. Overplayed their hand. Obama overplayed his hand. And if that doesn't explain that the teachers, the public employee unions and the Enviros are one block, and the trade unions are on the other side of the issue. They just...
I would imagine they're pretty excited. Livid excited.
Well, the pipe and steam fitters are really angry because that was... And, you know, they have a strong representative here, Sid Berg, in this local area. But that was an outrageous decision. Pure politics.
Well, and with the cost of energy being where it is...
Well, plus it's a fun...
Am I missing it? If the administration, take your pick administration, came out and said, we're going to do more oil exploration onshore, more natural gas offshore, would that almost overnight deflate the oil futures market to the point where maybe it would get back down under $50 a barrel?
And probably.
And gas would become affordable. All these little
we do not.
Sneaky tax or sneaky cost of living increases that we don't see are what's nailing a lot of people.
Brian, you're right. We do not have a comprehensive, what you're really describing is a comprehensive energy policy.
Yeah, but Nixon used that phrase in the 70s.
So. No, but.
But to really put together a plan.
Well, what we really need is here's where our consumption of X is, be it gas, be it oil. We need to have growth. We need growth in this economy. And if we have a means, a glide path to fill in these things, we're going to reduce our use of fossil fuels, meaning oil. And we're going to transfer a lot more of our fossil fuel usage to gas. Then we're going to have some of this solar. Solar is unlikely at this point to be a major thing. It's the technology at some point may be developed where it is. But right now, we just need a global policy and enact policies, sub-policies within that as to what we want to do. In other words, if our goal is to have 25% petroleum, how are we going to fill in the hole? Let's say we're at 70 now. It's not that hard.
So why is it being treated as a third rail?
The environmental movement, don't you think?
I don't know.
I think so. I think Keystone shows that this type of litigation, and we're dealing with it here, you know, litigation around here by the environmental community is out of control. Be it the Baykeepers, and we're now looking at the East-West rail option, and you can anticipate litigation there. These things are being, litigation's being misused. And what I like is it's Keystone shows in a very visible way on a national level what these policies and laws are allowing to happen. So it allows for a much better and much more emotional debate. So we'll win that debate if there's sunshine on it.
So if there is, and I think there is probably a pretty good brain trust that anybody's going to have in their cabinet, why aren't they looking at this stuff and saying, here's what we have to do to get the budget under control? I mean, they got, whoever's there, if they're talking about, you know, taxing the rich, blah, blah, They got to know the numbers. I mean, everybody has the numbers. So instead of the platitudes, why not get into the real issues? And maybe it's a 10-year till you're balanced instead of a 10-week. Okay, great. And the thing that the governor is throwing out there with the state of California, asinine is the word that comes to my mind.
Well, it's hard to have a lot of tolerance for what they're doing because I don't get their end game. They are going to break this country. They are going to break this state. It is these economies.
And how do they not see that?
Do they care? I'm now convinced Obama doesn't care. I'm now convinced most Democrats don't care.
Brown?
I don't understand Jerry Brown. That's among the more conflicted human beings I think you can run into because he created the monster of the public employee unions. And you can slice it 100 different ways. It's the labor costs that are really killing this economy.
Well, and the retirement associated with that also.
I mean, yeah.
The whole machine there.
Yeah.
But when he's talking about kicking the sales tax up again or allowing us to self-inflict the sales tax, all that's going to do is put us at even a more competitive disadvantage.
No one wants to make hard decisions, Brian. These are not difficult decisions but General Motors, look at how many they paid people not to come to work. Well, that's a formula. That's a good recipe.
Throw ethanol in there, too. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different just head scratchers.
Yeah. We are. One thing I am convinced is we have this generation that's kind of in my bucket, mid-50s. So say 65 to 50 or to 45 or 48. That is really, there was a bunch of really liberal people from our generation. These kids now, they're getting absolutely nailed on this. They're getting raped. And I feel that as their voice gets louder, the fiscal sanity will return at warp speed.
Particularly if they start voting.
Yeah, they aren't
if
doing
they're
a
checked
great...
in. If they're checked in.
Well, right now it pays to vote for a lot of the Democrat constituency. I mean, that's a good investment in your future is a Democrat vote.
KINS News and Information Times 442. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 446. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, on the local level, I had occasion, three or four different folks knew that you were going to be on today, and they were asking Balloon Track, any update, anything going on there? Give us some good news. Let's see some dirt in the air.
Well, there is actually pretty good news. The pump system worked. We're going to be before the Coastal Commission, I believe, this fall. I mean, we're now, in fact, we had a call today where I gave everyone the, okay, let's go now. And I'm comfortable with where we are on this whole thing. We're going to get this entitled now. It feels pretty good. You've noticed that we've torn down the old bleach plant, or most of it. And so that's going to be a great thing. And we're expanding our yard for increased volume there. I'm quite encouraged that Security National, over the next 18 months, we should be adding at least 100 jobs. And locally. So we're going to...
Based on the economy turning or outstanding stewardship at the senior corporate level?
No, just... I think God's blessing, personally. But,
okay, well, that buys more traction for me also.
But we've landed some very significant servicing contracts. We've gotten some financing to buy servicing. So we should be adding a lot of servicing, and I'm very encouraged. And we're going from the time when there's plenty of parking downtown to the time when people will complain again. So, you know, you can't keep everyone happy. But
well,
we will.
Hopefully we'll get some storefronts that are full, too. That's really compound the situation.
Yeah, boy, 2nd Street is starting to look awful.
And there's a lot of areas that just kind of scratch your head and wonder.
Well, the key now is to work with a tenant, keep them in, and approach it like it's a partnership. Don't approach it like it's a landlord-tenant. It is. We are now full-fledged partners. Let's make it work.
So some positiveness going on nationally. Are you seeing that percolating into the local community, in the state, in the region, anything that...
I believe locally it's still a struggle for retailers. I think it's going to continue to be. The service industry seemed to perk along just beautifully. I'm not discouraged with our local economy. I'm very discouraged with the amount of regulation, and it's real. It's a real problem.
How about county-centric or California that just happens to impact
all of
Humboldt
the above.
County.
Humboldt County is not without its genuine nastiness as far as regulations go. But the state is in and of itself pretty awful. Now we're talking about raising taxes on sales taxes. And I just don't understand what the vision for California is. I understand the vision for Humboldt County. We're going to be working on the rail. That will develop the port. It will be the first green port in the world. It will add 1,000 to 1,500 union jobs, and that ripples throughout the community. That I get. I don't get where California's going.
Do you sense that there's a rudder on California, or is it just running the engine and wherever we go, we end up?
Yeah. I think it's randomness. It's kind of like a balloon that you... blow up, and then it just kind of goes everywhere it feels like.
Okay, so we're going to have quite the ride.
Yeah, we already are, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. No
but
kidding.
I mean, I like what we're accomplishing here locally. I'm very pleased with that.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Rob Arkley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.